Hello and a warm welcome to Successful Student Transitions, A Time to Thrive, hosted by Elizabeth Gillies and me, Louise Wiles. And you likely know in our podcast, we aim to be a companion for young people as they step out of school and into the world of work and study and help them as they thrive in new environments. And our podcasts are about that physical and emotional world of transition. This week, we're replaying some of our Voices in Transition series, where we spoke to students about their experience of arriving and settling at university as a first-year student. And in this episode, Elizabeth is speaking to Marianne. This is a great listen for students going to university and for parents, educators, counsellors and mentors who are supporting them in this transition. When Elizabeth spoke to Marianne, it was the beginning of Term 2. It's a great conversation full of insights and helpful tips for students about to embark on their university journey. Listen to what Marianne has to say about making friends, overwhelm, being on your own, the value in trying new things, and the difference in learning between school, college, and university. And while you're here, and before we get into this conversation, I want to share the exciting news that we've just launched our first online course, Thrive in Your First Weeks at University, a framework for adjusting and settling well, designed to support first-year students to prepare well practically and emotionally for the first weeks and months of uni life. You know, we all know that starting university, moving away from home, making new friends, and living independently for the first time can be an emotionally daunting experience, and understandably so. So this course is structured around four modules, all designed to guide students through the ups and downs of the adjustment process, helping them to embrace change, arrive, adjust, settle, and ultimately thrive in their new lives. So if you find as a student that you are flip-flopping and understandably around emotionally at the moment as you prepare to go to university and you want to get a handle on how to manage the highs and lows of this transition experience, then why not go and take a look at the course? Go to successfulstudenttransitions.com/course offer. You can learn more about the course, its contents, and the special offer waiting for you until September the 30th. So that link again, successfulstudenttransitions.com/course offer. We look forward to supporting you as you embark on your exciting university adventure. So now on with this episode.
So today, a very warm welcome to Marianne. First year student, first chance done, Marianne. Well done to you. So I want to take you back, Marianne, to kind of last summer, or maybe even before that, if you want. And I want you to kind of chat through, tell us a little bit about how you got ready for going on this transition, this change to university. What helped you?
Last year, I took a gap year, right. And I reapplied. I did an art foundation course at Kingston. I was kind of unsure as to whether I wanted to continue pursuing art, you know, making art or studying art or, you know, what I'm doing. I'm currently doing comparative literature and history of art joint honours. But in order to prepare, I knew someone who had gone to Glasgow last year. And so I kind of interrogated her, and that was very comforting. Obviously, visiting the uni was integral for me because I am someone who's very kind of, my gut feeling is very clear the moment I kind of enter a space. I was very, very initially determined that Edinburgh was the place for me. And I got in and I remember visiting and it just wasn't clicking. Everything was on paper idyllic, and it's a beautiful city, but the feeling wasn't there. And that was really key for me. So I think visiting was really what settled me and made me kind of have a feel for how I might prepare.
Yeah. And Marianne had a little chat. We had a chat before this because Glasgow's my home city. So I'm cheering that you're in Glasgow because they have very different feels. I don't know if you'd ever ventured north to Glasgow before, had you?
No, I hadn't.
And was there anything about that appeal of the four-year course, Marianne?
There was, I mean, both. It kind of, different moods, I felt differently about it. Part of me thought that that was kind of a bit of a con in terms of going, because I thought I can't just kind of get it done with and start my kind of working life. But now that I'm here and love it so much and feel that this term is so short, the second term, and that this year is nearly over is shocking to me, that 4 years almost feels too short. I can't even imagine doing 3 years at this point. So it's definitely a huge positive for me.
So, yeah. And it feels like you've already made that transition to you're in the beginning of your second term, that you're already thinking how precious my time is, which is maybe a good thing.
Completely. Yeah.
So when you were interrogating people and asking people about going to University of Glasgow in particular, what were the helpful things they said to you?
I think the biggest gamble about university is sort of the people. For me, the people I was going to be around was the most important thing. The course itself wasn't the leading factor when I was searching for universities. I wanted to be surrounded by like-minded people. And obviously, university is huge, so there's going to be a mix of loads of people. But I felt that finding out about the general consensus seemed that everyone was incredibly friendly. And those kind of things were really helpful to know. And also knowing, getting my kind of young Scots card and there's stuff like that that were also very helpful. But I think more getting to grips with kind of the type of people that were going to be, I was going to be around, I think was really helpful.
Yeah. And I guess when people are saying to you, the people are friendly, and that's an attraction, because for a lot of young people, I'll just talk about friendship now, that is quite a priority for them. Do you know how important that was for you about making friends?
It was hugely important. I mean, I'm lucky because I'd have such a solid group at home, but post-COVID, I think socializing was a huge thing, and wanting to be part of new communities and experimenting with different ways of socializing and all of that was incredibly important to me. And I think coming to uni, I mean, socializing was key. It's like, it was a key reason why I wanted to go to university in the first place, was to meet people who were passionate about subjects.
And so how did you get to know these people? How did you go out and put yourself out there to meet people? What did you do?
I was very, very proactive, which a lot of my friends actually weren't, and yet they've still been successful. I think we're still friends. We are friends. It's a two-way thing. But I was very, very, that first week, I remember kind of getting up early every day and just kind of marching to like the society's fairs and like just getting a feel of it. I was excited. So I was enthusiastic. That really helped, just kind of biting the bullet and going in and just talking, just engaging in conversation. A lot of people you kind of meet in freshers and you never see again. Mm. But it's important. I think it's good exercise for then when you meet people who are more who become your friends. I think it's really important to kind of relax into doing uncomfortable things and starting uncomfortable conversations, I think really helps.
And you're right, because you've likely been in school and then you were in your gap year, but especially when you were in school, you weren't used to making new friends. You had all your friends.
No.
Yeah. And then you're having to do it again from thinking, maybe you did in your gap year. I'm sure you did meet people and you had to go and meet new people. But when you're at university, you're starting to think, well, how did I do that before? I forgot how I did it. I just have this group of friends. So it's new, and I think you're right, it does feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Do you feel you've got your group of students that you can go out with and talk to? And I'm going to say this word yet. Do you think you've got them yet?
Yeah, I do. I think I've had a kind of charmed experience in the sense of I met people mostly through my history of art course, and their friends, we kind of all molded our kind of the odd person we'd met that we liked, and that kind of formed this group. And I very, very quickly found a group of people that I feel completely relaxed around. And I think that is the most important thing when you're going to university, because you're you need to find your equivalent of your family, the people you can do nothing with, but are still company. And I think that's a real sign of intimacy, is when you can be completely kind of not need an activity to hang out with them. And that, and I found that very quickly.
And argue with as well, and repair with, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Because I said that word yet, and I've said it often when I've asked that question, because the research shows that it does take a lot of time and effort, and you certainly put in the effort. So that saying you've got a charmed existence maybe is not totally true, because you've put in that effort and you had that priority that this is the thing you really wanted to do. So well done to you, Marianne. Let's think a little bit about in relation to your organization and studies. Did you bring previous things that were useful to you, or have you implemented new skills? How's that helped?
In terms of learning?
Yeah, and learning and attending lectures and going to tutorials and doing, you know, often that busy week, busy times of Freshers Week is so busy and everything, and then reality hits. Oh, it's work, I'm here. I am actually a student. I'm here to learn. How's that? How's the learning working bit going?
I think I found it initially quite difficult, the kind of anonymity of lectures, because I was used to my secondary school. I mean, my sixth form was different in this respect, but my secondary school was very, very small. There were 50 people in a year, and you had a very, very kind of intimate relationship with your teachers, in the sense that they knew exactly where you were at. They knew your name. They knew exactly what you were doing. Whereas going to university, you feel like a number to a certain extent. And I think I found that quite disconcerting at the beginning, but I got back into the swing of it. I also think that here, the fact that it's 4 years, this first year, I don't feel that I've been given a huge amount of work. I feel as though uni kind of punctuates my life, but my life is much bigger than uni, which I didn't actually expect. I expected my life to be dominated by work, but it really hasn't been.
And what about, I know this is early days yet in kind of the studies, what about the standards of work? Are you kind of, is it what you thought, or is it higher or lower? Where would that be?
It's a mix. I think lower would be extreme, but I do think I haven't found lecturers yet that have been totally inspirational. And I think I've had, I'm comparing it to a lot of teachers who have been, I've had an amazing kind of history of teachers, even from primary school, who kind of made me engage with subjects in such a profound way. I haven't felt that here. And I think that's been slightly disappointing, because I love teachers and I love being inspired by people and people who know or are passionate about things. So I think that's been one thing that's been slightly disappointing, is that I felt that I haven't found that kind of lecturer that I'm desperate to go back and talk to and interrogate. And I haven't had that yet, but I haven't lost faith that will happen. I feel that will.
And I've got this this thought around that, and I don't know if it's true or not. I need to talk to people in university, but you know, teaching first years is not as exciting as teaching fourth years, for instance, you know. So it might be that, you know, it might change about who teaches first year. It's a bit like at school, you know, whoever gets to do the A level or the higher classes or something, they're usually those teachers with maybe more experience or something. So there might be something to do with that as well. And I guess in that first year, they're likely bigger classes as well, aren't they? Especially in Scotland.
Totally. Yeah. And also the elective, that's also what's kind of kept me going in that respect, is that the elective system. So you do your course, but you can do two electives if you're not doing a joint honours. I'm doing a joint honours, so I'm doing one elective. But it means that there are going to be tons of students who kind of forgot that they needed to choose an elective and have kind of turned up in subjects that they couldn't care less about. And so I understand that lecturers will be aware of that. So I do think that this year, academically, it makes sense that it wouldn't be totally enthralling.
And maybe you working that out for yourself and understanding it is quite a good thing. that kind of
well, completely.
This is my introduction to it. If you did help Marianne with academic stuff, do you know where you would go?
I wouldn't be able to tell you off the bat. I think it would be easy for me to reach. I haven't been in that situation, which is lucky, and I'm a confident writer, and so essays and things like that, which I've had to do, have not kind of felt overwhelming. I do have friends who, however, who have found it very difficult and have been able to get in contact with people, but I personally wouldn't be able to say that I knew exactly where I would go.
So maybe in that way, it's a need, you know, if you need to do, you need it, so you'll find it, but you don't know at the moment. Fine.
Right. Okay.
In these kind of early weeks of university, there you've been that first term and now you've just started your second. Especially in the early weeks, we've encouraged through the podcast for students to check in with themselves to see how they're doing, because there's a lot of new things. Well, you're in a new place with new people, you know, studying, doing new things after your gap year, washing, cooking, doing all that other kind of stuff, socializing. You know, maybe even learning, going to new societies and clubs or whatever. So there's a lot of stuff going on. And we ask people to check in with themselves to see how they're doing. Focusing on what they're doing well as maybe places or things that they need to make some adjustments to. How are you doing? If you were to look back. Good.
I think that first term, everything was planned. I was on a high.
Yes.
Pretty constantly. But you have dips. And I definitely had two or three times where I felt like it got overwhelming, because looking after yourself is a full-time job.
Absolutely.
On top of socializing and gathering your bearings. And I mean, there's so much to do. And I think a piece of advice I'd kind of give myself would be to cut myself some slack, that it's okay to be feeling overwhelmed. It doesn't, you know, there's a lot on your plate, but I think you kind of adapt so quickly. So you feel like you're not constantly thinking about a million things, but you actually are. And there's a lot to be grappling with at the same time, which I did have moments of it feeling overwhelming for sure.
Yeah. And because we in the podcast talk about that dip that happens in normal transitions, so that bit of when you're coming to university and you're right, how exciting it all is and new and everything. People kind of call that the honeymoon period. Everything's new and wonderful. And then especially for students at university, you know, the darker times, you know, October, November comes, it gets darker, it gets a bit colder. You start missing home, maybe. Often there's doubts about, did I choose the right course? Am I at the right university? So when you were having those dips, do you know what it was about? Was it just about being new in this place and that overwhelm of doing everything for yourself, or was that something else?
I think it was one of the times it was definitely, I felt like I was crashing a bit. I think I didn't realize how kind of thin I was spreading myself.
Yeah.
And I was kind of, the determination to create a strong foundation fund-wise, that constant going out, I think I wasn't sleeping enough, that really affects me. And I did have a moment where it was just, I just had to be on my own. And I think at uni, especially when you're in halls, alone time is rare. But it's necessary, certainly it was. And I think that I didn't consider the kind of fatiguing element of socializing and looking after myself to such a kind of intense degree. So it was mainly about the kind of overworking myself, I think, was mainly the problem, that I just suddenly was like, I can't, this is too much. But less home. I mean, I haven't really felt homesick, which has been fortunate. So it's been more about feeling overwhelmed.
Yeah, I think we forget how exhausting going and talking to new people and putting that kind of your best foot forward away, you know, about being a kind of happy, jolly, excited kind of person or whatever, so that you're going to attract friends, how draining that could be. You know, at one of the podcasts that we talked about, when we talk about rest, it's not just about sleep, but it's maybe a bit like what you were saying, is having social rest, knowing that you just need some time on your own, just to have a little bit of, you know, you're not maybe going to sleep, but you're just saying, no, I just need a bit of my own time so I can just be in my own head or do things that are restful for me.
Yeah. And also, I think reconnect with myself, because I think you start socializing and it's very performative. And in the sense, as you said, you're putting your best foot forward, and no one can put their best foot forward 24/7. And I think that you can get into a kind of autopilot of kind of being jolly constantly and doing all these incredible fun things and getting to know loads of people, that you sometimes completely kind of, there's a block between you and kind of what you're actually feeling. And I think it's really important to have moments of reconnecting with what you actually want and need.
Yeah,
at a certain time.
Yeah, I agree, Marianne. And I'd say kind of especially in that first term, kind of do it consciously. Don't wait until you're absolutely exhausted and burnt out, you know, all that freshest flu and all that illness that people get. That's your body saying you've done too much. So you have to pay attention to those signals within yourself, like you were doing.
Mm.
So can we just talk a little bit now about when you went home for the holiday? Did you go home back home to for the holiday?
Yeah.
What were the highs and lows of that then?
Going home was weird because it felt like, in some senses, it really felt like I'd never left.
Yeah.
I kind of got back into a kind of position within my family. And you kind of regress. But also I found it difficult. I found being with my family difficult because I was used to my own routine and they live in a completely different way to what I do, or how I do. So it was weird. It was a roller coaster of emotions actually going home. It was lovely in terms of being cared for. But I think it's this kind of weird limbo of like feeling like I've just put so much effort into this independence, and now I'm home, and it's not necessary, but I kind of want it to be necessary, but don't want it to be necessary, because I do want to be looked after, but I also want to be my own person. Yeah, I think it was a combination of a lot of feelings.
I think you've explained it in a very lovely way, Marianne. It's that push and pull, and especially I think of note is, you've likely changed a lot. People at home might not necessarily.
Completely.
So there's also a change in for your parents and maybe your other siblings to recognize that you've gone through a big experience and try and adapt and kind of cope with that, about, you know, when you say, oh, you know, there's things you want to do that you normally do, it might not fit in with family again. So it's almost like another readjustment going back home.
Completely. Oh, completely. And for it to be a second term, to know that I have two places that I call home, is also, it's a huge adjustment. And it's also freeing, I think, because I think your family can have various kind of complications or disruptions or all of those things. And so it's also really nice, other than obviously there is that limbo, there's also this freedom of like, this is not my entire world, and I have a whole world that I've created that I can return to. So there's also something lovely about that, I think.
Yeah, two homes, Marianne, I like that.
Yeah.
Maybe you already kind of mentioned some of these things, but they're kind of summary questions for us. What's been the most rewarding part of this experience?
The friendships I've made.
Mm-hmm.
1,000,000%. I think I basically left my secondary school to go to sixth form during the height of COVID. And so the opportunity to meet new friends was completely kind of delayed and almost destroyed. There was so much weirdness around what we were able to do, online school, all of these kinds of things. And I think that I had lost quite a bit of hope in terms of university, in terms of socializing, because I felt that I maybe lost those skills a bit during that period, but realizing that I hadn't, and that there were still so many people to meet and so many people to kind of connect with. I think that's been the most rewarding.
Very lovely. That kind of COVID experience that people had of not being able to do things, it affected people in a very strong way, didn't it? What's been your biggest challenge?
My biggest challenge has probably been the balance of kind of self-care and kind of the balance of being introverted and extroverted at the same time, and finding, carving out time for myself just for the sake of it, just for myself. I think that has been the biggest challenge, and I'm still figuring that out, because it's almost like an addiction that you're kind of, you stand your friends, and if they're all doing something, then I want to be there, and you know. So I think it's more that, definitely.
And I wonder, Marianne, that if you've made these firm friendships, if there's a time then when people say, well, we're all going out, you're coming, the firmer the friendships that they are, you can say, actually, not me tonight, thanks.
Completely. And that's the blessing of term two.
Yeah.
Because I've kind of, it's such a strong foundation that I feel completely free to, I think in term one, you're kind of, there's an insecurity there of like, if I miss this, I'm going to miss a huge bonding opportunity. Whereas now I'm kind of like, obviously we're all still learning about each other every day, but it's very different. I feel very established in a group of people that I know, they've made it known that they want to hang out with me, and I've made it known that I want to hang out with them. And so if I'm kind of elsewhere, it's not a sign of not being interested in the friendship anymore. It's more just a self-care.
Yeah. And also about just being yourself too.
Completely.
I'm somebody that goes out a bit, and I'm somebody that has a bit of time of my own, or I'm somebody that does this, or I'm somebody that does that.
Totally.
Right. The secure, when you've got those secure friendships, that gives you, like your word, that foundation. Is there anything that you would have done differently if you had a chance to start all over again? You might not, but you might.
It's difficult. I kind of actually have no regrets about how my experience has been so far, because it has been so, so lovely and everything and more than I'd hoped for. But I think maybe if I had joined more societies, I think that would have been a lovely thing to do, because even though I have this group of people who I love, I also feel like I'm still kind of, I don't want to get too comfortable in that being my kind of my entire world. And so I think societies are a great opportunity to kind of meet people and give an opportunity to meet people and people you would never otherwise meet from different years and with similar interests to you. And I think that last term I was so quick to find my people that it was like I didn't want to commit to not being able to do other things with them, just because I would have other commitments with societies and things like that. So I think that would probably be the only thing that I would say, is I would really recommend joining societies in that first term and just meeting it just broadens your horizons, I think.
Or even in your second or third or second,
yeah.
It's kind of never too late. And I think one of the other things, I think you're right in that, if you join a society, if you've got passion or you really like something, you meet other people with that. And there's also a kind of positive in joining something that you just want to try that you've never tried before, something completely new, because this is a kind of safe-ish time to do that kind of thing, to try out new things. So last question, I'm sorry about the last question, but because this has been a really lovely conversation. If you were talking to other students, like you talk to students, if you were going to say, this is what you really need to do in first year, in that first term, about that transition, what would you tell them, Marianne?
I would tell them that that should focus on finding people that feel safe and trustworthy, and that you feel, I think, feeling relaxed, seeking people that relax you, I think is really important in this time because it's incredibly hectic. And I think being open to all kinds of people and kind of putting yourself in uncomfortable situations in order to get to that comfort is integral to the journey of university. And I think accepting that and knowing that is really important because then you do more and you find out more about people. And I think also drop any assumptions about yourself or others, because it's an opportunity to reinvent yourself and kind of shine different parts of yourself that maybe you couldn't beforehand. And so be open to that, because it's such a great opportunity for that. That's what I would say.
Very lovely points, and particularly that number two that I like about knowing that in any transition, any change, like if it's this change or going in even into the world of work or whatever the change might be ahead of you, it will be uncomfortable to begin with until you kind of adapt and you understand where you are and who you're with and what you're doing. So, you know, we often get people to think back about other transitions they've made and make that connection too. Like you went to sixth form, that was likely a big transition for you, and especially at the time of COVID, and then you had your gap year, that was also a transition for you. So it's knowing that there's discomfort at times, and it usually works its way out. Thank you so much, Marianne, for giving up your time. I know you're working in a works. We were talking in a workspace, so if there is a little background noise, I think it was fine, Marianne. It'll be good. Best of luck in term two and term three, which is likely just around the corner for you.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Bye.
So thanks, Marianne, for sharing such helpful insights. Our apologies that the sound was not perfect. We tried our best to cancel out the background noise, but lost to the sound quality as a result. But we really felt it important to share this conversation anyway. So reflecting on the conversation, I think it was really helpful to hear Marianne's observation that she was excited and so involved socially that after a while she realised she was overwhelmed and needed to make time for social rest. Fear of missing out is something we hear many young people talk about, and it seems it can really have quite serious implications for our well-being if we don't realise the cumulative impact it can have on our energy levels over time. So something to really watch out for. Also, Marianne described how she felt she now has two homes and was finding it both a positive and negative thing. This living between two states at times of transition is often referred to as living in the liminal space and is quite normal. It can be a time of hope and new beginnings mixed in with challenge and some confusion. Over time, as we adjust and settle into our new environments and our new states, that liminal space recedes. However, if you're finding it overly challenging and emotionally draining, then please go to your wellbeing services to talk it through with someone. Also, take care of yourself and get some good sleep. Pretty much every student we've spoken to has mentioned the importance of sleep. Thank you for listening. Wishing you a great weekend. Bye for now. And now for the legal bits. The information contained in this podcast is for information purposes only. The content is not intended to act as a substitute for professional advice. Please do not delay in seeking professional help for any medical or mental health condition. Use of the information in this podcast and associated materials is at the user's own risk.